So I want to start with a question. How many people have ever made a decision they regretted? Show of hands. Some of you should regret your decision to lie in church. When you made that decision, though, how many people knew what they should do in the moment, but did not do it? Again, liars. Lots of you. But that should show us something. That most of the time, our poor choices and poor decisions aren't a knowledge problem. It's not, I don't know what to do in the moment. It's that we come to that choice or that decision, and there is something that pulls us in a different direction. Maybe it is fear. Maybe it is an addiction. Maybe it is lust. Maybe it is just wanting to go with the flow and be like everyone else. But we come to those decisions, and it's most of the time not a knowledge problem. It's a decision problem. And one thing I know, and you know it as well, over time, your ability or inability to make wise decisions will directly affect the trajectory of your life. Some of you can look back on your life and you can point to very specific choices that you made that if you had made the other choice would have taken your life in an entirely different direction. And some of you look back and you made the right choice and you look at where your life is now and you say, oh man, I'm so glad I made that decision. Others of you are sitting here today, if I could go back to that moment, if I could relive that moment and make the choice again, I would go in the opposite direction because everything that followed has affected how my life has turned out. And some of you have made those choices. You look back and you see your kids or your friends making those same choices. And everything within you wants to say, whoa, stop. Can I just tell you, I made that same decision 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago. And here's what happened. But for some reason, there is something inside of us that can hear the wisdom that someone else offers and says, you know what? I'm different. The same thing won't happen to me that happened to them. I can do as I please. I can just make the choice. And so many times the decision that we make is because of the voice that we listen to. And the voice you follow builds the life you live. Last week we began this series talking about how Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount. He tells the story of two builders. He uses this metaphor of two builders. There's the wise builder who heard the words and actually did what they said. They rearranged their life around them. And that person is like the one who built on the rock. And the rains came down. The floodwaters came up, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it stood firm because its foundation was on rock. But then there was a foolish person. And the foolish person heard those same words, and did not listen to them. And when the rains came and the flood waters rose and the wind blew and beat against the house, it fell with a great crash. And the question is not, are you building something? Because all of us are building something. Last week we asked the question, what are you building on? But this week we asked the question, who are you listening to as you build? What voice is dictating the direction your life is headed? Because all of us have those voices. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is this Hebrew word, chokmah. And it really refers to the skill of building something. A craftsman, an artist, who takes something and makes something beautiful out of it. And so wisdom in Proverbs is not just intelligence. It's not IQ. It's not who knows the most Bible verses. Wisdom in Proverbs is, how do I live a life in this world that honors God and lives gratefully and graciously in His good creation? How do I live in a way that blesses God's good world, not just exist in it? Because if we're honest, there's a lot of people who are walking around today who look like they are alive, and yet inside, everything is falling apart. Inside is, it's decaying. Inside is dying. And you would look at them and everything within you say, they're alive, they're experiencing life, they have everything they want, and yet inside they are dying. Maybe that's someone in the room where you walk in on Sunday morning and everyone would look at you and say, that person has it all. But if you were honest and they asked, your answer might not be, life is great. But it might be, I'm suffocating inside. And I don't know what to do. See, Proverbs asks a different question than simply, is it wrong? Because that's our frame of reference for most things. Is it right? Is it wrong? Can I do that? But I think Proverbs asks a different question. Is it wise? Not is it wrong, but is it wise? So, a question. If you are driving on I-20, and you pass a speed limit sign that says 75 miles an hour, is it wrong to drive 75 miles an hour? Perfectly fine, right? State troopers aren't going to pull you over. But let me ask you a question. If it's snowing, is it wrong? Is it wise? What if it's an absolute torrential downpour? Is it wrong? Yeah, I don't know, it might be. But is it wise? No. Is it wrong to give our kids technology? No. Is it wise to say, here you go, you can do whatever you want on here. It's completely open. You can do whatever you want, however much time you want. Is it wise? Probably not. If you're married, is it wrong to have a close friendship with someone of the opposite sex? Not necessarily wrong. Is it wise to have a really close friendship with someone of the opposite sex, where you're sharing details and things about your life? Probably not wise. And I think that's where Proverbs comes in. It's not just simply, is it right, is it wrong, but is it wise? Is it what we should be doing? But because here's what's so important, is your choices are never just about you. Your choices directly impact and affect other people. Your choices impact and affect the people around you. They affect your family, your kids, your colleagues, the people you meet on the street, the health of your marriage. Your choices are never just about you. And Proverbs gives us this incredibly beautiful framework that sounds a lot like the words of Jesus. In Proverbs 9, it says, "Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. And she sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, 'Let all those who are simple come to my house.' To those who have no sense, she says, 'Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight.'" Her invitation is there and it's available to everyone. Come, have a seat at my table. And you will live. Not just exist, not look the part, but truly be alive. Truly live. And wisdom is available to every single person. The book of Proverbs begins in chapter 1 by saying wisdom is available, it's there for everyone who chooses, but then it says, the one who does not listen to wisdom, who hears the words and just says, "Oh, I'm not going to do," eventually it says wisdom will mock you. Understand, that's not God saying, if you mess up, I'm going to mock you. That's wisdom saying, I'm going to be like the parent who told you, "Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this," and you did it. And they're sitting there saying, "Told you so." Or the annoying kid at school who never got in trouble, who was always kind of the good angel on your shoulder saying, "No, don't do it, don't do it." And you do it, and you experience the consequences of it, and they're sitting there saying, "Told you so." That's what wisdom is going to be like. And you're going to make those choices and those decisions, and then years later you're going to look back and wisdom's going to be saying, "I told you so. It was right here. It was available to you. It was there for everyone, and you chose not to listen to it." But then it goes on to talk about another lady. Proverbs calls her folly. It says, "Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their ways. 'Let all who are simple come to my house. Let those who have no sense, she says, or to those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious, but little do they know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the realm of the dead. The idea is that wisdom calls you to life, but folly makes death look delicious. Come on. Here's a seat at my table. And both of them, there's this powerful contrast that happens. Both of them say, this is available to all the simple. When you hear simple, please do not hear stupid. Hear uninformed. Hear unwise, easily seduced, easily pulled away. The one who just sees what they want and they go get it. I think about it as a house. Ladies Folly's house. It looks unbelievable. It looks absolutely gorgeous on the outside. And you stand at the door and you knock. And she opens up the door and invites you inside. And here's what you see. And it looks so appealing. Until you walk inside. Several weeks ago, I told you about our lab who's 10 years old. I want you to watch this. This is our lab. His name is Ty. And Ty likes to eat food. He doesn't really have any discernment or discretion. He just eats. You put it in front of him, he doesn't know what he's eating. It can be dog food. It can be people food. It can be health food. Ty isn't real picky. For instance, Ty, do you want a tomato? You want a tomato? Yeah, you want a tomato? Ty likes tomatoes. Ty, you want a carrot? You want a carrot? Ty eats carrots. Ty loves blueberries. Yeah. You want a potato? You want a potato? Ah! And he'll take your fingers off. But Ty's not real picky. He'll eat anything you put in front of him, including a piece of lettuce. You want some lettuce? Yeah. No, he didn't want the lettuce. And I think we can learn a lot from Ty. Because Ty, when I hear the passage from Proverbs, led like an ox to the slaughter, not little knowing that it would cost him his life, I think of Ty. You could easily seduce him with food and lead him to the slaughter. And he wouldn't know any different. He just sees something he likes, he wants, and he goes and gets it. And I think all of us are pretty much the same way. We see what we want. It's in front of us, it looks enticing, and we want to go get it.
Right after I turned the camera off, he went back and ate the piece of lettuce. I think he thought he was getting something else besides that. But in chapter 7, there is this adulterous woman in Proverbs. And it's not talking about like the sin of adultery. It's talking about folly, who actively goes out into the street and seduces the simple. And that's how it ends. With he was led like an ox to the slaughter, little knowing that it would cost him his life. That's Ty. Simple and easily seduced. But if we're honest, that's us so often as well. See, in our mind, life and death are realities. You're either dead or you're alive. But in Proverbs, life and death are tied to choices. They're tied to the decisions that we make. And they ask the question, not is there life after death? They ask the question, is there life before death? Right? Because it brings up this, is it possible to be physically dying and yet fully alive? And maybe the bigger question
Is it possible to be physically healthy, successful, comfortable, admired, have everything you want, and still be wasting away inside? Right? Is it possible to look like everything is okay, and yet inside, your soul is suffocating? Inside, you're searching for something you feel you cannot have. And what Proverbs would say is it's there. And those decisions that you made that you thought defined you, they aren't the end. Because every day you have a decision to listen to the voice of wisdom or to listen to the voice of folly. They're there, they're available, but will you listen? And those words from Proverbs 7 are so haunting. Little knowing, it would cost him his life. Right, Jesus finished the sermon on the mount with these simple words. Therefore, everyone who hears these words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Not the one who heard and said, wow, that was great. But the one who heard and said, I'm going to rearrange my life around them. Because I want my life to look like Jesus. The promise this week, and again, if you're new, we have these Abide cards. We're doing a new promise every single week through 2026 that we can fall back on when times get difficult, that remind us of God's goodness and God's promise. And in Ephesians, Paul says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. There's two words in there, grow and mature. And I think that's what Proverbs is getting at. You don't suddenly arrive one day and have all of this wisdom. You have the wisdom because you're continually, day after day, listening to the right voice. And it is directly affecting how you live your life. It's directly affecting the shape of your life and how you interact with other people. The way that you love and serve your spouse. The way that you love and discipline your children. The way that you interact with people at work. It's something that you grow up in, you mature in. And Proverbs is saying this is how your life grows up and matures. It's listening to that voice. And I think wisdom teaches us to ask this question, where does this path lead? If I make this choice, what happens next? And here's the thing. Most of the time, we know. But most of the time, we can be so easily seduced. Come on. It's great in here. And then you pan out. And you look at the bigger picture, and you're sitting at the table of Lady Folly, and you look around, and everyone else at the table is dead. And you're thinking, how in the world did I get here? But it didn't start and happen all at once. It happened one decision at a time. Because we didn't press pause for just a moment and ask the question, is this wise? Does this look like Jesus? Is this the way that Jesus would go? Is this what he would encourage his people to live their life like? If only in those minutes, in those moments, when we're at the decision-making point, we could just sit, pause, and ask that question. Is it wise? Is this building love and peace and patience and kindness into my life? Does it make me look more like Jesus? Or does it simply make me look more like everyone else? Because there's a lot of people outside who are dying. And they are looking for anything that looks like life. And you and I have been given the hope of the world in Jesus. To simply be able to say to other people, hey, I know life's hard. And I know the decisions you made, they might not have been the best. But Jesus offers a different way. Come on. Come on. And I think that's the invitation for all of us today. Come on. Come to the table that's prepared for you. Come and eat his food. And drink his wine. Take the bread of life, the water of life, the light of the world, and you will find hope that you only imagine was there. Come. Come. It's available to everyone. Father, we thank you so much for this time. God, we're grateful for the opportunity to be together, to worship, to celebrate Jesus. And Father, we pray that today you would help to mold us and make us into the image of your Son. Shape our lives, not just to hear these words, but to hear the words and truly live them out every single day. Father, we thank you. We're so grateful for Jesus, our Savior, who's redeemed us, but Father, also shaped us to live as blessings in this world. Father, may everywhere we go, people see your goodness through the way that we live. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.